Yet uncovered, grace trial, there's His grace for every mile. There's the grace sufficient from God's vast supply. Grace to make my heart more tender. Grace to love and care for sinners. There'll be new grace when it's my time to die. Grace not yet discovered, grace not yet uncovered, grace from God's bountiful store. He gave grace to cross the river. There'll be grace to face forever. Oh, there's new grace I'm not needed before. God will give grace to cross the river. Oh, He'll give grace to face it forever. There'll be new grace I'm not needed. The third chapter in the book of Nehemiah, I'm very glad that our brother did the reading, because it certainly is a hard and difficult read as far as the big words are concerned. And yet many people, just because of that, they just simply skip over the chapter because I can't read that. And you know, the third chapter, believe it or not, in the book of Nehemiah is one of the most remarkable chapters. And therefore, if you were to skip over it, because of the difficulty of reading the words, or the names rather, then certainly you would have missed something tremendous, because it is the remarkable record that God has given of the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. Now remember, these walls had been lying in ruins for 150 years. And now it comes to the time for to rebuild them. It is just one chapter concerning the rebuilding of the walls. And really, what we're finding is this, at least in detail. And what we find is a very concise, very simple and concise summary of the work. And it focuses on the names of those who are involved in the construction and were united in the objective of building the wall. Now, there is a temptation, as I said, to skip this chapter and to move to the next. But there is tremendous truth here. Remember, God's word is profitable. Not part of it, but all of it. And therefore, this chapter is there for a purpose. And we'll find out just exactly. You say, well, listen, what purpose is there in recording all those difficult names? You say, well, you know, can you not just move ahead and forget about those? Well, there's always a purpose with God. And there's always a reason why that is there recorded. And when it is properly understood, it is seen as a record of achievement for the people of God. Now remember, whenever we were in chapter 2, even though there was great opposition, the great opposition was because the people shouted out and cried out in verse number 18, "Then I told them of the hand of my God that was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for this good work. You see, what they're going to do is a good work. is a good work. And that which we are involved in today, in the work of the Lord, it's a good work. Never forget, there's nothing more precious than this work, the work of God. And you know what we need to do? We need to strengthen our hands for the work. And I trust that as you have come to this conference, and as you spend time with this conference and time of fellowship, yes, the one with the other, but most of all around the Word of God, that what will happen will be something that will be of God in a powerful way, that God will strengthen your hands for the work. That you'll go back to wherever God has called you to, and the work that God has called you to, and that God will send you back strengthened. And I believe that we need to encourage one another, and we need to strengthen one another. And as we see that, in actual fact, that is a real part of this chapter, because we see the strengthening of the work of God. Now, the first thing I want us to notice here is, and it's follow on from the last chapter, it's motivation. Motivation. Because God's child stood there up before this people, and remember, the walls had been lying waste. The city was in ruin. There were very few houses in Jerusalem at this time. And in actual fact, there were quite a number of people, but they built outside the city, not inside the city. Because we read later on in the book of Nehemiah, there were few in the city. Few houses built there. So the city was lying waste. What an awful reproach. What an awful shame for the work of God. And you know, the old devil was laughing. Here was this mighty city of Jerusalem, and yet it's lying a wasteland. You know, the devil laughs when he sees the work of God going down. You know, some people, they are totally indifferent when the work of God in a place is decreasing. Well, you might be indifferent, but the devil's not indifferent. The devil's laughing. And therefore, we need to pray that God will strengthen the work and strengthen the workers. And my, there comes this motivation. You see, listen, they got up and said here that they said, let us rise up and build. And friends, you know, through that motivation, there can be excitement. Let us build. And what happens when you come to the third chapter is this. That the entire population responded to the plea of God's servant. And they were willing to help. And that's an account that we have in chapter 3. Of an enthusiastic spirit. Because they were motivated. Yes, they were encouraged. There was leadership. And they were enthusiastic. And there was enthusiasm among the people. But you know, that quite often I've seen that in my 50 years. I've seen enthusiasm among God's people, but I'll tell you what I've witnessed to. I've seen the enthusiasm wane. I've seen people, yes, they were all excited. My, we're with you, brother. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And my, they're so full of energy. After a period of time, you look, they're not there. But thank God, here we find that in this third chapter, every person had a particular work. Every person had a particular job to do. There was no one envious of the job that somebody else did. And everybody was satisfied with the assignment. And every section of the wall was cared for. Now let me say this. In the work of God, there's nobody less important than the other. Every single person in God's work, whether it be in Singapore, whether it be in Ulster, whether it be here, every person in the work of God's important. And maybe you haven't the title as somebody else has, or the position that somebody has in the work, and you say, well, listen, I haven't the responsibility. Yes, if you're a child of God, God saved you to serve Him where He has put you. Not everybody in the same place, but everyone in their own place. And what we notice in this chapter, that every single person had their place to build the wall. And no one was looking at somebody else and said, that would be a better place for me to do. If only I had that place, envious of somebody else's place. Listen, may God give you the spirit of being satisfied. There's a wee word in the script. Be content with such things as ye have. Not as you would like to have. You see, godliness with a contentment, the word of God says, is great gain. And may God give us a spirit of contentment. You know, sometimes amongst God's people there's an unrest. They're not content. Maybe they're jealous of somebody else's position. Jealous of another brother or another sister in the work of God. Maybe they think that they're looked upon more favorably than I'm looked upon. And then the old devil gets in. And it's not me with them. It's me versus them. But notice in this passage of God's word that every part of the wall was taken. There was not a place neglected. And as you take a tour around the city in the building of this wall, every man had an important task. Because not only do we see motivation, but here's the second thing. Cooperation. Because every man had his place, and every man, they cooperated together. They were all united together with a clear, simple, yet important objective. What was it? Let us build the wall. That's what we're all about. Let us build the wall. Let us build a name for ourselves. No, let us build the wall. And you see, friends, whenever we start and the old devil gets in and say, let me build a place for me, or let me be important. And we forget, this is the work of God, not yours. This is not to build a name for ourselves. This is to build the wall. Recently, a year ago, I was elevated to the House of Lords. And the place where I ministered on in was Macrofelt, but it was a particular place, Mullaghboy Hill. And many people were asking me, what is your title going to be? Lord who? Lord McCrae of where? And people said, you know, you've been 50 years on Mullaghboy Hill. Surely you have to call yourself Lord McCrae of Mullaghboy. I said, friend, of all the names, and said this to the papers, of all the names that I will be called, it will not be that one. And here's the reason why. I said, there's only one Lord on Mullaghboy Hill. And I've preached him for 50 years, and that's the Lord Jesus. You see, friend, we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. Every one of these built the wall. Do you know how the wall got built? Because there was cooperation, the one with the other. Everybody was important in this great task. It was a great work. God had sent his servant to build the wall. But my, there was a need of cooperation. And in the work of God, if there's not cooperation, the devil gets in and destroys work. Yes, you can have motivation. And people can get excited. Yes, let's build! And then they get, they lose sight of what it's all about. Instead of building the work of God, it's building a name for themselves. And then that's a tragedy. You see, everybody's important in the work of God. There's nobody unimportant. in a church. Yes, in the church there is the teacher. In the church there's the elders. Those that have responsibility. And let me tell you, never covet that if God doesn't put you in it. Because I can tell you, if you were in it for a short time, you'd want to get out of it very short if God hadn't called you. Because it's not an easy thing to give leadership. It's not an easy thing. You know, you're an easy target for the devil when you're up there in the front and out there to give leadership. And so therefore, never covet those things if God hasn't placed you. But every person is important in the work of God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in chapter 12 it says this, verse number 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body. Listen. As it hath pleased him. But every part is important. And that is so important in the work of God, friend. We need each other. The fellowship of God, they need each other. Not standing against each other, but working together for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we see in this passage of God's Word that the whole city gives themselves over to building the walls to erect the gates. And the ministry at Cornerstone belongs to the whole congregation. And every single child of God in the work is of vital importance. Pulling your weight together. Forwarding the work of Jesus Christ. And that's the question that I asked this morning. Are you doing your part? Are you willing to do your part in doing the work of God together for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, some people have got this idea that the pastor, that's the pastor's job, or that's the elder's task to do the work. Yes, they have an important task. And they deserve honor for the work that they're doing. Because God has placed them there. But God doesn't say you're less important. But there has not only to be motivation, there has to be cooperation. Now we notice in this chapter that the building of the walls here is constructed around 10 gates. And everything is done in this passage of God's Word in order. It's not haphazard. It's done in order. Around these 10 gates, moving in a clockwise direction. Beginning at the north side, next to the temple enclosure, and then eventually returning to the same spot. Repairing each section. You see, if one section was left unrepaired, the wall would be no good. Wouldn't be effective. The enemy would have a place to get in. And friend, we have got to be careful. We have got to be willing in God's work to see the enemies kept out. No place for the enemy to get in. My, he'll try his best, as we'll also see. The devil will try his best. But you know, before the work of God was done, there was a recognition of something else. A recognition of separation. Because in the second chapter of the book, we read in the verse number 20, "Then answered I and them and said unto them, The God of heaven will prosper us, therefore we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem." There was no place at all for the enemy in the fellowship of the people of God. And we've got to guard the fellowship. You know, sometimes, just to get a big number, people lower their standards. And that's how the apostasy has crept in. And places that once were on fire for God are no longer on fire for God. Places that used to preach the gospel and stand for the cause of Jesus Christ, they no longer do it. Why? Because they did not see the necessity of separation in the fellowship of the place of God. There was no place for the tares among the wheat. Now that does not mean that the ungodly are not welcomed into the house of God. But they're not given a place in the work of God. You can't do that just to swell your numbers. Because this work and this building, it was a special work. And it was to be done by the people of God. And they were to do it together. Notice how this was done. There's a wee phrase that is mentioned over and over again. And this shows you the cooperation. And how that they worked together in work of God. Chapter 3, verse 2. "And next unto him built it, the men of Jericho." Go to verse 4. "And next unto them repaired." Verse 5. "And next unto them," verse 7, "and next unto them," verse 8, and you go on down, "next unto them." You see, this wasn't a haphazard work. This was done together. They were building together. The next one, and the next one, and the next one. But they were building together. And that's what we have to do in the work of God. We have got to build together. Now the devil will want to divide. That's one of the great plans of hell, is to divide the people of God. And to divide the fellowship. Now the devil laughs when he sees a fellowship divided. No. But you notice where it started? Go to verse 1. Chapter 3. "Then Elisha, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they built it." Guys, it started with the man of God. The leadership in the work of God, it started right from the high priest. He had a work too. He had to work too. There used to be a British humorist. His name was Jerome, K. Jerome. And he said this: "I like work. It fascinates me. And I could sit and look at it for hours." And there's some people like that. "Oh, I like work. Really fascinating. But I could sit and look at it for hours." You know what that means? They do nothing. Enough. But these people were not spectators. Right from the high priest, right down to the last person. They weren't spectators. And friend, listen, there are no spectators in the work of God if you're saved. You're enlisted in the work of the Lord. You're not as a spectator. Do you know what quite often happens? When people are spectators, the greatest general that ever fought a battle, he was sitting on his chair at the fireside, and he never fired a shot, but he knew how to do all the battling. He was the greatest general. He won every victory, and yet he never fired a shot. You know what people sitting in the spectators and the sidelines, they usually end up as critics. And critics are a hindrance to the work of God. We don't need critics of the work of God. We need workers. And here we find right from the very beginning, if you read this passage, the rulers and the craftsmen and the dedicated woman and the farmers and the gatekeepers and the guards and the perfume makers, every one of them got involved. Every last one. Tell me, are you involved in the work of God? Are you doing something for the Lord? Are you a willing worker in the work of God? You know, there were no volunteers. There were all volunteers, rather. There were no conscripts here. Everybody was a volunteer. They gladly give themselves to this task. Let us build the wall. So, we've got a motivation. And we have cooperation and we have separation. But notice the next thing. There was organization. Because you see, to do this work and to do it properly, there had to be a smooth operating here in the work of God. And to do this, there had to be an intensive planning and organizing. And Nehemiah had a special place, yes, because listen, he had to figure out the best way to do the task. He had to break down the work in such a manageable way. He just didn't say, let's build the wall, but you know, you go wherever you want to go. You do whatever you want to do. You know, there's some people in God's work who say, well, listen, brother doesn't say that I shouldn't do it. Listen, I believe I should just do what I want to do. Friend, that was what they did in the days of Judges. Look at the mess they ended up in. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. To do the work of God, there needs to be organization. And here we had to ensure this vast number of workers that they were coordinated together, that they fit together. And there's nothing wrong in organization with the work of God. But as you see, that in that organization, there needs to be an adapting to the weaknesses and the strengths of the individuals involved. You've got to be flexible to adapt it because there are some less able than others. Not less important, but less able. You can't cast them aside. You've got to be willing to support them. You've got to be willing to help them. You've got to be willing to encourage them. You know, some people have this idea that the work of God should not, there shouldn't be proper organization. I tell you, disorganization doesn't glorify the Lord. Other people, of course, have it so organized that the Lord has no place to get in to do the leading and guiding. There's got to be a proper balance. But there was organizing. And then you notice something else. There was delegation. Because Nehemiah couldn't do all this work himself. This was a great work. He had to entrust the work to the workers. He needed to give men the authority to get on with the job. And sometimes there is a temptation, and I speak as a pastor, sometimes there is a temptation that when you look at it and you see the way people do it, it's easier to do the work yourself than to delegate it. But there's a necessity for delegation. And as the congregation grows, there is the necessity to delegate the work. Turn back to the book of Exodus chapter 18. Do you remember when Moses was leading the work of God? And Moses really, he was nearly doing everything. Go to verse number 13 Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. It came to pass in the morning that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning until the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening?" And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. And when they have a matter, then they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them to know the statutes of God and his law." And Moses' father-in-law said to him, "This thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." We've got to be willing to delegate. "Hearken," verse 19, "now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the cause unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at the season. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so that it shall be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee." And in this great building of the wall, there had to be delegation. We can't keep our hand on everything. We've got to allow the work of God. If the work of God grows then we need to delegate. But then there was something else in this passage of God's word. It's consideration. Because delegating didn't mean that they were just to dump the work on others and then walk away. Because it was essential in effective leadership that Nehemiah keep close to the job, inspecting the progress, talking to the leaders, helping them keep moving forward the goal. Consideration. And we have to stay close to the work. Sometimes there is a temptation that now we have grown so much and now I just don't need to be, you know, as closely involved as a pastor for 50 years. Let me tell you this. We had just the prayer meeting, and we always had the prayer meeting. We always had the morning service and the evening service and the midweek prayer meeting. And then there was the children's work. It started to grow, and then there was the women's work, and then there was the youth work, and then there was the men's work, and then there was the seniors' work, and then there was the baby's work. All of these works started. But let me tell you this. See, every day, the time that there was the ladies out, and they always said, "Pastor, would you come and be with us?" And when the men's out, or when it came to the youth out, I didn't walk away. Because I had to give consideration to those and encouragement to those that were doing the work. They knew that you were giving consideration to them. No, you weren't looking just down on them like the big figure that somehow they said, "Oh, he's watching me." No. But you weren't standing away from them. You were giving proper consideration, encouragement. And then there was something else. There was recognition. Because you see, what happened is this. Do you know why the names are recorded here? Because God's servant wrote them down. He recorded, he gave recognition to the men that were doing the work. And sometimes we can take people for granted.
and not give proper recognition to those that are working with you in the work of God. And I believe it's proper to give recognition for a job well done. But all of this would not have been successful without coordination. It had to be. The project was successful for all the parts fitted together. Each knew his task that he had to do, and praise God he did it. Now, of course, there were a few that didn't. The Bible says in verse 5, but their nobles putting up their necks to the work of their Lord. And there will always be somebody. You see, all these sections of the building of this wall, this one built it next to him, and then next to him built it. And it went on until the wall was completed. But listen, it had to be locked together. All the wall had to be interlocked. Each section with the next section. In other words, they worked in harmony. They weren't a group of independents. They worked in harmony alongside each other, supporting the overall work. Because there was the commitment to the work of God. But there's something interesting in this chapter. The building of the wall was concentrated around something. Go to verse 10. And next unto him, against his house. Verse 21, you'll find again, from the door of the house, even unto the end of the house of Elijah. Verse 23, after him repaired Benjamin and Hashub over against their house. Verse 24, after him repaired, and once again you'll find from the house. Verse 28, once again it talks, everyone over against his house. Verse 29, over against his house. And over again it mentions this. The concentration around their house. And there's something important in the work of God, friend. Is living right and building in your home. Your house. You know the most difficult place to live for the Lord, friend? It's in your home. I remember a man one time, you see, he tried to put out an outward show that he was a very godly person, but he didn't live the Lord in his home. He went one night to give his testimony in a meeting, and when he went to give his testimony, his wife heard that he was going to give his testimony, and to tell you the truth, he lived an angel outside and he lived a real devil inside the house. He went to give his testimony. His wife slipped into the back row. And the missioner called John up to give his testimony. He was getting up, you know, so holy and so smug of himself. And he was standing in the front and he was just about to give his testimony. And his wife got up in the back row and she says, John, remember I'm here. See, friend, every man against his house. Not, listen, he built around his house. And I pray that God will, listen, protect our homes, because one of the great attacks of hell today, even in the ministers of God and the children of God, the devil attacks our homes, our families. And you ought to pray You ought to pray that God will keep His hand upon the preacher's home. That God will keep His hand upon the preacher's family. Because the old devil will try to do his best to destroy the work of God. And if he destroys the preacher, destroys the work, undermines the work that has been done. The devil's attack in the work of God. May God guard our homes and our families. And then we find there was completion. Because thank God the work was done. Everything was done. The assignment was completed. They kept on until they finished work. Now time's nearly away, but I want to end up, because I mentioned the gates. And don't think these are insignificant. These are all important. And I ask you to take time to study the gates that are mentioned there. I said there were the 10 gates. Do you notice where it started? Go to verse number 1. It says, and they builded the sheep gate. The sheep gate. Now that was important. Because this was the gate of sacrifice. The gate that led to the temple area. It was through the gate that the sheep would be taken into the temple in order to be sacrificed. And of course, in sacrifice, the blood would be shed. It's interesting, isn't it? In all the other gates, it talks about the locks and the bars. But there's one gate. No locks and bars. What was it? Sheep gate. Why, friend? Because thank God there's easy access. God has provided an easy access through the blood. And of course, that's the only way that you can enter into the family of God. It's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gate was set apart. It was, verse 1, they sanctified it. It was different from all the other gates. And you and I must remember that to get to heaven, there's only one approach to God. There was only one sheep gate. And there's only one approach to God. And that is through the sacrifice and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been to Jesus, the hymn writer says? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You see, the commencement of the building of the wall, they started at the right place. And if you're going to get a heaven, friend, you've got to start right. And the only place to start is at the cross. It's through the blood. And then you'll notice the second thing is the fish gate. Verse number 3. And you see, when a person's saved, well, you're saved for a purpose. You're saved to serve. It's called the fish gate because the fishermen from Galilee and from the coast, they brought their fish into the city through this gate. If you're in Jerusalem, it's the present Damascus gate. And the fish gate speaks to us that now that we're saved, we become fishers of men. We're to serve the Lord. It comes back to, you are saved to serve. You see, Jesus said to Peter, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishermen. And if you're going to follow the Lord, friend, you're going to have to follow him to serve. The next gate was the old gate. And every believer That is truly a child of God. Listen, every believer needs to stay with the old paths. Affirming, a practicing the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. People are looking for something new for them. Something new. Well, I can tell you this, as far as God's work is going, and the things, if it's new, it's not true. Because this book's the same. Walk down the old paths again. And every child of God needs to stand fast in the liberty with Christ has made you free. And desire the old paths. The next one was the valley gate. And the valley gate speaks of humility. And of course, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The one who humbled himself. Humility. God's child needs to be humble. We need to build that gate up. Is that wall broken down? Is it? Have you lost your humility? Are you carried away with pride? Sometimes God's people look down their nose at the unconverted. Never look down your nose at a sinner, friend. No matter how far down in sin they are. Because remember this, that's where you were found. God found you in your sin. Oh, you say, well, I wasn't as far down as him. Let me tell you, God knows your heart. And God said, all your righteousness are filthy rags. God got you in rotten rags of sin. Just the same as everybody else. You have nothing to be proud about. Paul said, I will glory in the cross. I will glory in the cross. And then the next one was the dung gate. That's where the rubbish was cast out of the city. Let's be honest. In the lives of every one of us as children of God, there are things that need to be. Rubbish that needs to be cast out. And as you grow in grace, let me tell you, God will put his finger on other things in your life that perhaps you didn't see were wrong. But you see, when God puts his finger upon it, get rid of the rubbish. Get rid of it. And then the next one was the water gate. But the interesting thing about the water gate is this. It was the only gate that didn't need repaired. Didn't need repaired. And water is the type of the Word of God. And the Word of God, thank God, is still the same. The Word of God abideth forever. Thank God there's not. We don't need new things. The Word of God doesn't change. We change. But the Word of God doesn't change. The standards of the Word of God, they don't change. They don't change. I missed one. The fountain gate. That was in verse 15. And thank God that speaks to us of the ever-flowing spring. And that's essential in the work of God. That's the minister of the Holy Spirit. It says, be filled with the Spirit. Be ye filled. Daily infilling. Keep being filled with the Spirit of God. We need the power of the Spirit of God to serve it. Every day. And then the water gate. Thank God. It was at the water gate, our brother mentioned this morning, that Ezra read the scriptures. And then there was the horse gate, reminding us that in the Christian life there's always a battle, warfare. We're not on a picnic. were in a battlefield. We'll find that shortly as we move to the next chapter. And then there's the eastern gate. But let me tell you, though we're facing a battle, friend, don't be discouraged. Because thank God, our eyes are upon the eastern gate. Because that's the eastern side facing the rising sun. Praise God, our greatest day is still to come. Keep looking heavenward. Looking for Jesus to come. With that great anticipation that one day Jesus will come. And then the last one, in verse 31, is the last gate. It is Mithka. And that is the gate of inspection. The gate of inspection. Remember, when the old journey's done, friend, we shall all stand before Him and give an account of our stewardship. By and by, when I look in His face, hymn writer says, I wish I'd given Him more. Tell me, what have you got to bring? What would you lay at His feet on that great day? It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They'll come on that day, great day, having sown the seed, bearing precious sheaves. Thank God, lay them at Jesus' feet. When He inspects our works for Him, tell me, will it be hair and stubble? Or will we have brought glory and honor to Jesus' name? Take time to read that chapter. I can only just skirt it today. But forget about pronouncing the great names. But remember, God recorded them. Because God gave recognition that they built the wall. And God will not overlook your labor in the Lord. He says, if you give a cup of cold water in My name, He records it. Well done, My good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts. And O God, I pray that as we look at thy work and as we face thy work in the coming days, help us. Help us to build the walls around our homes. Help us to remember that that's important. But help us to work together to build the wall for the glory of thy name.